Good morning, and welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call to present the main results of the report on public finances and public debt for the fourth quarter of 2007. With us today are Alejandro Werner, Undersecretary for Finance and Public Debt, Gerardo Rodriguez, Head of the Public Debt Unit, and Miguel Mesmacher, Head of the Economic Planning Unit. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Werner, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Good morning. And as you all know, a couple of days ago, we published the public finance and public debt report for the fourth quarter of 2007. Basically, there we talked about the projections for GDP growth for the end of 2007 and for 2008. We discussed the end-of-year numbers for public finances and for public debt, and we made some comments on public debt management policy for 2008. Basically, we are projecting that the Mexican economy grew by 3.6% during the fourth quarter of 2007, and that will give us a 3.2% growth for the whole year 2007. Basically, at the end of the year, we still had very good numbers. As you all know, during the period October-November of 2007, the GDP monthly proxy grew at an annual rate of 4.3%. In terms of the components of aggregate demand during this period, in the fourth quarter, we had that sales of the main retail and departmental stores grew at almost 9% in annual terms. Fixed capital investment in October grew at a rate of 8.3%. And during the last quarter of 2007, exports in dollar terms grew by 15%, and manufacturing exports grew by 9% during that period. Also, bank credit to the private sector has been growing very rapidly at around 27% in real terms. And basically, in the last two or three quarters of the year, we have seen credit to firms increasing at a very high rate of 35%, and consumption credit slowed down a bit to around 20%. Mortgages are still growing at around 20% at an annual rate. Total job growth during 2007 was around 750,000 formal jobs created. That gives us a rate of growth of around 5.5% for the year. That it's a very good one, similar to the one we had in 2006. As you all know, I mean, due to the changes in the growth projections for the U.S., we made a change in our growth forecast for 2008. Basically, we lowered that forecast from 3.7% that we had outstanding and we made in September 2007 to 2.8%. This revision is basically driven by the reduction in expected growth in the U.S. However, it is worth to highlight that we think this time around, especially compared to 2001 and 2002, the Mexican economy has several elements that will help us mitigate the effect of the U.S. slowdown in the Mexican economy. Basically, the expansion of domestic expenditure that we have seen growing the domestic component of aggregate demand in a range between 4 and 5% in the last 2 or 3 years. The growth and soundness of the financial sector, as I said before, credit to the private sector is growing at around 3 percentage points of GDP per year. The promotion of housing programs, we have seen in terms of the number of housing or mortgages per year stabilized at around 750,000. We are expecting that for 2008 the number will be slightly higher, giving an additional boost to aggregate demand. We have seen some diversification of exports away from the U.S. the percent of non-oil exports to non-U.S. Destinies have increased from around 10% to 16% in the last 5 years. Obviously, given the approval of the fiscal reform and the high price of oil, public sector expenditure during 2008 will be growing at around 11%. And as we are expected that we might have another oil windfall during 2008, there might be an additional increase in public sector expenditure that will boost aggregate demand throughout the year. And as you all know, the introduction of the YETU, given that investment is fully deductible, might also stimulate investment throughout the year, again, as another element of countercyclical fiscal policy. In addition to that, within the increase in expenditure, it is worth to highlight that we have the largest budget approval for infrastructure in history, and we also have several projects that will be starting throughout the year, financed by the private sector, making infrastructure another pillar of this counter-cyclical fiscal policy. All in all, basically this is a reflection that in the last 2 or 3 years, the non-tradable component of GDP has been growing much faster than the tradable component, and this shows that the Mexican economy has a much more stable and dynamic domestic aggregate demand that will help us cushion the impact of the deceleration of the U.S. in Mexico. I mean, just to remind you, in 2008, public investment will grow by around 25% in real terms. That's a 5%, reaching 5 percentage points of GDP. Within this number, it's important to highlight that the Pemex investment budget is growing at around 12%. The highway and port infrastructure investment budget is growing at 45% in real terms, and investment in water infrastructure grew by 62% in real terms. Turning to the public finance results for 2007, we had basically a balanced budget during that year. Revenues increased by around 5.7% in real terms, reaching 25.5% of GDP. That I think it might be a historical high. Also, within budgetary revenues, it is worth, I think, to highlight the important increase that we saw in the income tax that grew by around 13%. The VAT tax grew slightly above GDP at 3.4%, and therefore these two taxes also reached the highest level that we have seen in history for Mexico. It is also worth to highlight that we had a windfall, that is a public sector income above what was projected, of around 2.5 percentage points of GDP. Almost half of this comes from non-tax revenues, one quarter of this comes from oil revenues, and the other quarter comes from non-oil tax revenues. It is also important to highlight that this windfall was distributed according to the laws that are established in the fiscal responsibility law, and an important portion of this income was assigned to these several stabilization funds that we have. Given this use of resources, the oil stabilization fund reached a level of 57 billion pesos. The stabilization fund for the states reached a level of 22 billion pesos, and the stabilization fund for investment in Pemex reached a level of 9.5 billion pesos. Summing all these stabilization funds, there are almost 90 billion pesos in these stabilization funds, and we have an additional fund for the restructuring of pension system that has around, I think, another 10 billion pesos, giving us a total of almost 100 billion pesos, 1 percentage point of GDP being saved in these stabilization funds. It's also important to highlight that oil revenues during 2007 posted a 1.7% decrease in real terms compared to 2006, explained basically by the higher imports and the higher price of gasoline during the year, as well as the decrease in domestic prices of natural gas, fuel oil, and other petrochemicals. In terms of budgetary expenditures, I think it is worth to highlight that during 2007, they grew by almost 6% in real terms. Basically, within this, it's important to highlight that investment also increased by 20% in annual terms. Within this, I think it's important to tell that in terms of current expenditure and what it's the wage bill of the government increased by 3% during 2008. However, once we take out the military, education, and health, basically the wage bill for the public sector decreased by 3% in real terms, basically as a consequence of the austerity measures that were included in the budget for that year. In terms of public debt, the federal public sector net debt, which includes debt from the federal government, the public entities, and the direct budgetary control, and the development banks, fell to 19.8% of GDP. This is almost 1.5 percentage point of GDP lower than the one registered at the end of 2006. The domestic debt component stood at 16.2% of GDP, and the net external debt stood at 3.6% of GDP. In terms of debt composition, the participation of fixed-rate peso-denominated bonds in total government securities increased from 50% to 54.2% throughout 2007, and the average maturity of government domestic securities increased from 4.3 years at the end of 2006 to 5.6 years at the end of 2007. In terms of the broader measure of debt that we have, that is the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements that include basically the PDVGAS debt and the debt from FARAC and IPAV, basically fell to 33.8%. This is 2.1 percentage points lower than the number at the end of 2006. Within this, the domestic component stood at 25% of GDP and the external component at 8.7% of GDP. In 2008, the government strategy, or the strategy that the government will follow in terms of public debt management, will be based in two fundamental guidelines, that is basically to continue relying on long-term debt in pesos to finance the deficit of the federal government, and to focus our debt policy on improving the cost structure and the amortization profile of external debt. In December 2007, the government securities auction calendar for the first quarter of 2008 was released, and the actions contained in this calendar will help to strengthen the liquidity and efficiency of fixed-rate bonds in the different tenors and further develop the market of inflation-linked instruments, the Eurobonos, and consolidate the real interest rate curve. And with this, we conclude our presentation, and we will be open for questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question will come from Eduardo Torres with BBVA.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for hosting this conference. My question has to do with infrastructure investment. You already made this, gave us these numbers on that perhaps you're planning to spend as much as 5% of GDP in infrastructure investment. Would you say this would be in line with your base case scenario that you planned on this national plan of on infrastructure, or and what would be needed to take it to the more positive scenario you planned you mentioned in this national plan? And also, are you planning to to increase spending in infrastructure during the first two quarters of this year, or is it going to be more throughout the year or in the second half? Thank you very much.
Basically, the number that we have in the budget for infrastructure in 2008, it's consistent with the outstanding scenario that was presented in the National Infrastructure Program. In terms of how expenditure will be distributed throughout the year, I mean, I think we are in line with the calendar that is slightly biased to the first half of the year, given the fast approval of the budget. And also it's important to highlight that to the extent that we have an income windfall throughout the year, part of that windfall will be channeled to infrastructure projects. That obviously would, if it takes place, this would happen since maybe the second and the third quarter of the year, in line with the materialization of these increases in public sector income, and basically following the guidelines of the fiscal responsibility law. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one. And your next question will come from the line of Paulo Leme with Goldman Sachs.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you very much for the quarterly update. Very useful as usual. My question has to do with activity in Mexico, and I share with you the assessment that thus far activity in Mexico has been quite resilient, not only in terms of domestic demand, also exports of manufacturing and activity. So my question is going forward is how confident are you guys in terms of especially exports of manufacturing from Mexico, excluding autos, to resist a deeper downturn in the U.S., particularly in the second and third quarters of this year when we think that it could be negative in the U.S., and if it does really show to be very resilient, and I think it will, and therefore growth in Mexico will be much closer to 3%, how reasonable is the local markets now starting to price sizable interest rate cuts in Mexico, given that inflation has been quite rigid downwards for all the price shocks that we know? So if you could address those issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulo. I mean, basically, we think that manufacturing exports are going to slow down. They have started to slow down since the fourth quarter of 2007. A lot of that, as you mentioned, is explained by automobiles. We are expecting automobiles to remain weak throughout the first half of 2008. And that is one of the main drivers of the important slowdown that we are projecting. Non-automobile exports, we are also expecting to exhibit an important slowdown. However, I think in this component, we are slightly less pessimistic than your outlook for the U.S. We are using an assumption of around 1.5% growth in GDP for the U.S., and in that scenario, although we had a yearly profile that is similar to the one you mentioned, it is less pronounced in the second and third quarter of the year than the one that you have. And in that extent, I think our export slowdown is more biased towards automobiles and is less concentrated in the second and third quarter. With respect to interest rates, let me just say that obviously the scenario has changed in the last 6 weeks. I think Banco de Mexico is facing an important challenge to the extent that they have had good inflation numbers in the last biweekly announcements. However, they are expecting inflation to remain around 4% for a significant part of the year, and that poses the dilemma of whether place a heavy emphasis on the expected effect of the slowdown of the economy on reducing core inflation pressures going forward in an environment in which headline inflation and maybe even core inflation for the next couple of months might be going up, as they say. So I think that at the end of last year, this dilemma was much more biased towards a tightening bias by the central bank. And now, I mean, given the developments in the U.S., given the reductions in rates in the U.S., obviously that scenario has kind of been significantly reduced. And this has been obviously priced in our long-term bonds. But I think on this account, maybe Gerardo can tell us a little bit more of what the market is pricing in nowadays after the last two actions by the Fed and the news we have had from the U.S.
What we've seen in the local market is clearly market participants anticipating to what may be the next policy move of the central bank, probably many months away at this stage. But since the Fed started to cut rates, the market is perceiving that the monetary conditions here in Mexico are tightening relative to the U.S. And we're starting to see an effect in the level of the FX. What we've seen in terms of the shape of the curve is people taking advantage and taking positions in the long end, reducing the slope of the curve. And we have seen also an important increase in participation of foreign participants. No? That may tell us something that they are expecting in terms of potential FX appreciation and some pressure potentially on the central bank to act based on the evolution of monetary policy in the U.S. I think that given the the mandate of the central bank, inflation expectations are going to be an important element to watch going forward, but clearly the market is starting to make their bets on what the central bank may do in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Your next question will come from the line of Daniel Wilson with Zemi Communications.
Good morning, and I'd like to echo the other callers by saying this is very useful information and appreciate your holding these quarterly calls. My question is, with the changed economic scenario and the combination of the change in the tax code, if you could comment on what your expectations are for the tax collection, the pattern of tax collections across the course of 2008, and how you see the new taxes being reflected in revenues.
Hi, Dan. This is Miguel Mesmajer. In terms of the fiscal reform, as you know, we're expecting that thanks to the reform, government revenues would be increasing in the order of 1.2% of GDP in 2008 with respect to 2007, and that the higher revenues would be more or less distributed along the year. Now, more or less what our estimations give us is that for every 1% change in GDP, we see a reduction of about 10 billion pesos in tax revenues. Now, given the current level that we're seeing for oil prices, obviously we would have larger oil revenues in 2008 with respect to what was originally budgeted. So we don't contemplate having any problems in terms of lower overall revenues and therefore having to make any adjustments on expenditures. Hello? Thank you.
And we have no further questions at this time, sir. I'm sorry, we do now have a question from David Hooper with Black River.
Hello. I'd like to echo what everyone else has said also, and I find these calls very useful, and I appreciate you doing them. I guess the question I have is more directed towards Gerardo, and I saw the recent swap that was done and the long end of the curve. And it appears, you know, that you were rolling out to the on-the-run long bond from some of the shorter-dated bonds. And I was a little bit curious about that, given that there wasn't a huge amount of issues in the bonds that you took out. Is this the kind of rolls or swaps that we'd expect to see going forward? And kind of is your idea just to strengthen the on-the-run bonds?
Yes, thank you, Dave. As you know, in the past when we introduced these regular exchanges, we were aiming more towards a cash management type of exercise, given that we reopen on a consistent basis our on-the-run bonds. When they become due, we have to amortize them in a single day, and that raises an issue of potential frictions in the marketplace, given that investors need to reinvest those monies, and also raises an issue of cash management on our side. However, what we tried and do this time around, for the first time actually, was to take that tool, the exchange, and use it to speed up the process at which we create new benchmarks. As you know, when we issue a new bond, we reopen it many times until it gets to an outstanding amount that guarantees good performance in the secondary market. That takes many months. So in order to speed up that process, it is that we decided to allow investors that were holding the December 23 and December 24 bonds in our curve to switch into the December 27, which is our current underwritten bond for the 20 year. We announced 14 billion pesos, and we were able to do the full amount basically at the bid offer prices that were in the secondary market. So we were happy with the result with this first auction of this type, and we are looking forward to continue doing so in the next two exchanges that we announced for the first quarter, using other securities in other sectors of the curve. Thank you.
Your next question is a follow-up from Eduardo Torres.
There's been some people who have mentioned there might be some inflationary pressures associated to the YETU, and the question would be if you would agree with such views, and up to what extent would you say this pressure might amount to. Thanks.
Yeah, I think those people are the central bank, and obviously, theoretically, they're completely right. I mean, to some extent, this is a tax that conceptually could be passed on to the consumer as any other tax. However, I think there are important elements that will mitigate that effect. The central bank has also highlighted them, and I think at the beginning of the year, in a presentation by Governor Ortiz at ITAM, he actually mentioned that they thought that the latent pressure, inflationary pressure coming from the YETU, might be smaller than what they published a couple of months ago. And let me say what are these elements. The first one is that imports are not being taxed, and to that extent, all the tradable goods or the tradable goods producers' capacity to pass this tax to the consumer is significantly diminished because they have the competition coming from outside that is not being subject to this tax, and therefore their prices are not being affected. Secondly, this is a tax that has a very differentiated effect across firms. So in any sector, you will find firms that will be having an increase in their tax payments, but other firms that won't be having an increase in their tax payments because the YETU is a minimum tax on the income tax. And therefore, those firms that have, let's say, a relatively or a higher than average payment of their income tax, maybe they won't be paying the YETU, and therefore their tax charge won't change. So therefore, in the same sector, if you find some firms that are not being hit by the tax, then the capacity of their competitors to pass to the consumer the increase in the tax will be highly diminished. And what we have seen is that when you go sector by sector, basically there's a high diversity of firms that will be paying the Yetu and firms that won't be paying the Yetu. Third, firms can reduce their Yetu payments by increasing investment, and that's a measure that some firms will take. And fourth, for some multinational firms, given that the Yetu is creditable to their income tax in the U.S., then their total tax payments won't increase. And finally, I mean, given the weakening that we are expecting to be experiencing in the next two or three quarters, this won't be a suitable environment to push to the consumer these increases in tax payments. Therefore, we do think, and we are relatively convinced, that the inflationary effect of the Yetu will be rather small, and maybe we have seen some of it in the last weeks of 2007 and the first few weeks of this year, because maybe some firms that were thinking of doing it, they might have anticipated the effect. So basically we see it as a relatively small factor affecting inflation for the next, let's say, 6 months. Thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Gabriel Casales with VS.
Hello, good morning, Alejandro. Thanks very much for the update. As Paulo said, we really appreciate this quarterly effort. Since Paulo and Eduardo have already asked the major questions regarding economic activity today, I would like to ask you something related to the Oil Revenue Stabilization Fund, the FAPE. As far as I know, the maximum limit of the fund is reached by a formula consisting of multiplying the oil-related products exports platform times a factor of 3.75 times the exchange rate. According to our calculation, this limit should be around 51 billion pesos, but I see in the Hacienda report that the balance of the FAPE end up around 57 billion in 2007. As you all know, this is very important in terms of the use of the oil windfall on infrastructure investments, among other things. So the question is, are we underestimating this maximum limit, or how can we know which is the limit?
Yes. Let's say we have at the maximum limit of what we call the reserve in the FAPE, which according to our calculations is in the order of 56 billion pesos. Now, in addition, the FAPE can actually be earning interest on the resources that it has, and that is deposited in a separate account which does not count for the maximum limit. So to the extent that over time the fund is getting revenue from the investments that are made with the resources that are deposited in the fund, we could actually end up seeing a significantly larger amount above the maximum limit imposed for that part of the fund, which is strictly the reserve. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
And we have no further questions, sir. You may continue with your presentation or any closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much to all of you, and as always, we will be open to any further questions either in our offices or through our investor relations unit. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's teleconference. You may all disconnect.